Welcome to the Saints Happy Hour Podcast with host Ralph Malbro and featuring bloggers Andrew Juge of SaintsNation.com, Kevin Held of The Team Drops the Ball, and Dave Cariello of Canal Street Chronicles. This podcast is nothing but serious football talk and hardcore analysis.
Which four of you would survive the longest in the zombie apocalypse, and in which order would you die?
Well, Ralph, no offense, you're going first.
Oh, definitely. No.
The zombies would smell Dave's sugar blood and target him.
They'd get his...
I don't even have a joke, Dave smells like nougat.
Now here's your host, Ralph Malbro.
Welcome to the Saints Happy Hour Podcast. As always, we are sponsored by the Pelican House, 2572 City Place Court, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. They have 136 draft beers. You needed them all yesterday. You didn't need them all for LSU, but they have a late night menu. They have a 50-foot TV. The Pelican House, they have everything you could ever want. They're awesome. 2572 City Place Court, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. You should support them because they support us. I don't even know where to start yesterday. Andrew, do you want to start us off?
Not really.
He was out of bounds.
Nope.
yep. You want me to start it off?
He was out.
He was out of bounds. And the thing was, like, I think he was out of bounds. I think they did leverage on Justin Drescher. I mean, that ending sequence was a clusterfuck of incompetence by the officials. Now, doesn't mean the Saints would have won because it still had a minute 22 seconds left to go. Their defense is as great as it was playing. All it would have taken was one big play. Denver would have been in field goal range, yada, yada, yada. But to lose like that is just horrific. Dave, where does it rank on the horrible Saints losses in the last, say, 3 years?
I feel like... this season, we ask this question every week. It's like every
every
week they find an even more ridiculous way to lose than the week before.
Lost twice on 2-point conversions. Who does that? I mean, that takes skill.
Look,
lost twice on block kicks.
Yeah.
No, it's unbelievable. As far as the leverage, I want to get all of this. I want to just make my opinion known and put my foot in the sand here, the ground, whatever. But, you know, the leverage, no call, I don't know about that. That looked that was certainly way more questionable than whether the return guy was out of bounds. I'm okay with them not calling that. I'll tell you what I'm not okay with, though, regarding that in a second. As far as the out of bounds, yes, obviously, I think he was definitely out of bounds. It's frustrating that it's 2016, we have cameras everywhere, and we don't have cameras that are permanently fixed along each sideline.
Bill Belichick, but,
I mean, tennis has the technology to analyze whether a ball hits the line or not. And this isn't a judgment call, like,
no, it's the,
you know, pass interference or this is like you could get the technology. It exists because tennis has it to be, you know, within a fraction of a milliliter, you know, 99 percentile accurate.
Well,
a foot touches the line or not.
Here's
you could
the thing
know.
Too. Bill Belichick 2 years ago offered that up and said, let's put cameras so we can see straight up and down the sidelines to know if people are out of bounds.
Right.
The NFL said it's too expensive, and Bill Belichick was like,
get out of here.
We're a $4 billion year industry. Maybe we can he said, maybe we can have a bake sale.
I'm pretty sure
the NFL does better than the ATP Tour in revenue.
Yeah. I mean, now granted, having a camera down the sideline may not
white
solve
shoes,
everything.
Man.
Because,
white shoes.
Because you're going to have – you know, you're going to have – chances are that you're going to have somebody – players in front of the camera blocking it. I mean, it's not foolproof, although if you have it on each end, then that would certainly help. But So there's that, and there's the white shoes thing. I would say that definitely you're going to have at least one rule change this offseason because of this game, possibly even two.
They have to change the white shoes. I mean, I think white shoes should be banned after that. I mean, and it's frustrating because when they do it, it's not going to help the Saints, and the results, yeah. I mean, it changes nothing. But I think the concept that one team wearing a certain color of shoes would have an advantage over another team. I mean, to me, that's absurd.
Yeah, and
you,
I mean,
you can't have that. I mean, everybody's got to wear a shoe color that gives them the equal amount of chance of not getting screwed or whatever.
I mean, this game, man.
I have one more point to make about this whole thing. I'm not done yet. The other thing that's really still sticks up my craw is the fact that I think as far as the well, kick was concerned, the extra point is concerned, I think this once again highlights that Greg McMahon, as a special teams coach, is
terrible,
mediocre,
awful,
at the very best, but definitely not good. It frustrates me that obviously Denver had this plan, had this play in their back pocket, and obviously they chose the right time to use it. And I'm certain that Greg McMahon wasn't even aware that this could happen, didn't talk to Justin Drescher before the play or during practice that week or at any point and say, hey, look, this could happen. You need to get your head up before you even snap the ball. You need to be ready for this. We just went out there. Denver went out there like it was the biggest play of the game, and the Saints went out there like it was any old extra point.
You know, taking
that's
that
my problem.
In taking that single play out of the equation for a second, Dave, I first of all, I 100% agree with you. I think the Saints need a new special team coach.
Dude,
a guy
special
who's progressive.
Team. Listen, special teams don't matter. And that was offensive
don't
line
even start
blocking.
With that. We're going to get there. Trust me, we're going to get there. I agree with Dave 100%. I mean, Greg McMahon, it's time for some fresh blood, someone progressive. But I think this runs a little deeper than just him. I think philosophy-wise, the Saints just haven't given enough roster spots to special teamers. Like they haven't taken it seriously. And on game day, you've got Tommy Lee Lewis and Marcus Murphy both sitting inactive, and you've got Traveris Cadet and Tim Hightower and Brandon Cooks and Jairus Byrd running back kicks. Like, you know, why are these guys even taking up roster spots if you're not going to play them?
I don't understand why
even have them on the team?
What is
and
the part of Murphy?
For the first six games of the season, Brian Dixon isn't on the roster until they're like, oh, you know what? Our coverage units are pretty awful. Maybe we should call him up. And then they bring in Jake Lampman. And now, in the last 2 weeks, Sam Barrington and Shiloh Keough, they've gotten all these special teamers because special teams is so awful. They're starting to realize, like, wow, we really need to dedicate roster spots to these guys because the guys that we have on the roster aren't cutting it.
I gotta believe, though, and this is I think this might be a first for me ever. I gotta believe that McMahon is like, Sean, give me some players for this, please, for the love of God, help me out. So I mean, I don't think. 2 weeks ago, McMahon was like, it might be a good idea, guys. Get me some gunners, you know?
Yeah. Now, in fairness, I think that was kind of guys like Nate Stupar, guys like
Josh
PJ
Hill.
Williams. Yeah, guys like, Josh Hill. Guys like Craig Robertson. Those were supposed to be the special teams guys, and Laurinaitis and Ellerbe and all these veterans, they can't play. And so all these backups that were supposed to be the special teamers have to play now. And these veterans are taking up roster spots injured, and so that's costing the Saints special teams player.
Does anybody ask Sean Payton about Marcus Murphy? Like, I feel like every time he's inactive, like on a Monday, Sean Payton should get asked that. Just even though he'll say the same thing, like they ought to just let a fan take that roster spot. It'd be about the same thing. I know, like, they could do like a Make a Wish for a kid. They got the hype man.
Jarius.
They could dress him out, and or just, you know, be like he's inactive. He could wear sweats on the sideline.
I just, if you're not gonna, what's the point in having Marcus Murphy on the roster?
There is no point.
What's the point?
You know, besides the extra point that was awful, the big go to the game was Michael Thomas. I think he just fumbled again, Dave. I mean, I feel like the whole thing was they're up 17-10. They're driving. And I know this sounds weird, but they were one score, I think, away from totally putting that game away because their defense was killing Simeon, which was the – I mean, if you'd have told me the Saints had six sacks, I'd have been like, there's no way. A meteor's going to hit the earth before that happens. But they had it. and I felt, Dave, that was the big play, like the fumble, their drive, and they probably – even a field goal, 20-10 would have done it for them.
I mean, I think either of his fumbles, had they led to a scoring on drives, I think momentum was definitely in the Saints' favor for most of the game too. you know, I said when the Saints beat the Chargers that they got lucky and that the win meant nothing, and I would actually say that even though the Saints lost this game, it does leave me pretty hopeful and optimistic for the rest of the season. I mean, that's now 2 weeks in a row. Was last week Seattle? Was there some?
No,
who was before?
Seattle was 2 weeks ago. Last week was
San Fran was last week.
Yeah, San Fran, right. Well, which they played well. I mean, so you're talking about 3 weeks in a row now that even though they lost the game to the Broncos, they've played pretty decent football and leaves you optimistic for the rest of the schedule going forward. I mean, they play obviously Panthers. They have yet to play the Bucks. So
we'll get to them.
So I mean, they're going to have a whole bunch of division. They're going to have a whole bunch of division games, and the division is still up for grabs. So it's still not looking that terrible. And you had to assume that they were going to lose to the Broncos from the beginning. I mean, beating the Broncos would have just been lanyap.
You can make that argument if they were going to be 5-5. You want the win to be.
They were the better team, though, man. I mean, they should have won that game.
And that's what's got to.
I don't know. I mean,
somewhat good.
I feel like Denver was
the former Super Bowl champions.
I feel like Denver was really, really close to taking control of the game early too, and then Sterling Moore had the interception by Sterling Moore and the fumble by Thomas sort of swung the momentum either way. You know, I feel like if Denver goes down there and they're about to score to make it 17-0, and if they get up 17-0, I feel like they'd have murdered Drew Brees. You know, even though the line held up really well, the Saints.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, I just think when I look back at this game, I think obviously we're all biased, but I think I wanted that extra point. Yeah, I wanted it to be leveraged, and I wanted it to be out of bounds so bad.
You don't want to lose like that. You just it would have been one thing if Denver would have drove down at the end and kicked
fair.
The field goal.
I think it was called okay. I mean, I'm not psyched about it, and I do think he was out of bounds, but I do agree that it's not 100% clear. And you know, I think it's one of those things where if he had gone down the sideline and that umpire, you know,
called
who was running
out.
Right behind him down the sideline, if he calls him out,
he's out.
No way on a review they overturn it. You know, so it's kind of one of those calls where it's like they're sticking with whatever they call in the field, and video evidence isn't, conclusive either way. But at the end of the day, for me, I just think it's frustrating because too many times this year, there's kind of two things. Number one, the Saints have gotten killed by play. It's different players making mistakes. You know, in Kansas City, it was Fairley and Mark Ingram. Guys that you don't expect, veteran guys, guys you expect to make smart plays, and you know they make colossal mistakes. And you know Mike Thomas, who's been the most consistent and solid player on the entire team all year, with colossal mistakes in this game that cost
Bro
his team.
Bro was pretty terrible too. Yes,
yeah, right. I mean Mike Thomas and Bro both. I mean they get a pass, Bro. You know Bro's coming back from a broken leg, and he's a solid player. And Mike Thomas, Definitely deserves some rope. He's been fantastic all year, and I have tons of confidence that he'll bounce back from this.
Yeah.
But the one thing that keeps sticking out with me, and going back to special teams and all those Saints fans, you know, we fought with on Twitter, Ralph, that say that special teams don't matter that much. Fix the defense. I'm sorry, but once again, a colossal mistake on special teams that kills the game with the result and the balance. And when you make mistakes like this, the Saints have had too many games come down to the final 2 minutes in the final possession. You just can't have monumental screw-ups like this on special teams and expect to win.
Here's the thing that I argue with. We're not arguing that the special teams need to be elite, or their special teams are average and they need to make them very good. We're talking about you need to make your special teams from a garbage dump to close to average. Like, that's where they need to get. You cannot win game. You can't be a playoff team in the NFL when you have a bottom five defense and a bottom five special teams. I don't care how good your offense is. You're just not going to win. And you can say, well, there's, you know, you have to make decisions on the roster, whatever. You can't be this bad on special teams and win. They have to fix it. And Jalen Sanders, I don't know if maybe they could get him back. He was a decent returner in 2014. They'd probably just have him inactive. He'd collect dust.
I mean, they've got a couple explosive guys. It's just, I think, ball security, they're afraid to play him. But the alternative, I mean, you look at what Jairus Byrd and Brandon Cooks. Brandon Cooks was real close to fumbling his punt.
Lord.
You got Travers Cadet catching the ball out of bounds. These guys that are supposed to be more trusted and solid aren't doing much better. And I think Sean Payton is just deciding, you know what, I'd rather guys returning that are going to help me in other areas. And so Cadet, you know, and Cooks and Byrd, you know, they offer auxiliary things. You know, they return, but they also do other things on the field. But I think at this point, you've got to think about a guy that can ignite special teams like Marcus Murphy. I mean, we've seen how explosive he is, Tommy Lee Lewis. I mean, I think if you're going to carry these guys on the roster, at some point you got to give them a chance. And it can't be any worse.
I guess it can't be anywhere. It could be as bad. I guess they could do the Atlanta thing again. They could do the Benny Hill.
Well, I mean, you know, that's the fear. That's the fear with Tommy Lee Lewis and Marcus Murphy is you put him back there, and we were just talking about not having monumental screw-ups, and I think the risk of monumental screw-ups, you know, it's kind of high risk, high reward with those guys.
Yeah, but eventually, like, Marcus Murphy, if you like, are they trying to fix his fumble? Like, eventually, like, you either got to cut him or give him one more shot. You know?
Yeah. Well, I really think some of the biggest issue now, you know, coverage and return and kicking, you know, those are all different. But the main issue for me with the kickoff returns and the punt returns is it's never the same guy. It's a different guy every week, and you can't get acclimated and comfortable and if you're not getting reps. And, you know, the NFL is all about confidence and reps and being able to feel comfortable out there. And no one has been doing that job long enough for the Saints this year to feel comfortable, and the musical chairs has to stop. Like, they need to decide who the return man is and just stick with him.
So that was the terrible part of yesterday. They did have a few bright sides. Dave, we fretted over the offensive line all August, and they didn't have Armstead yesterday, and it was fine. Andres Pete was a – I mean – Andres Pete, is it fair to say that he was a disaster in August? I think that's fair. And
he was getting moved around a lot.
We were crapping our pants about Andres Pete.
So, I mean, my question to you, Dave, is the defense had 6 sacks and they were all delightful. Is the pass rush real, do you think?
No. That is ridiculous.
Denver had only given up 5 sacks going into yesterday.
I'm sure, but no, the pass rush is definitely not real.
Somebody folding a piece of paper?
No, I'm peeling vinyl. I'm doing work at home. No, I would not expect the Saints to be getting 6 sacks every week from here on out.
Well, and Andrew, what's the – maybe not 6 every week, but is this pass rush – is it real in a sense that it's going to be better than what it had been before Rankins? And how good can it be going forward?
Yeah, I mean, I think Rankins provided a boost. And we know that – Fairley and Jordan, you know, kind of bits and pieces have been good this year. And when you add one more guy, and Rankins has a quick first step, he was real disruptive in that game. He was in the backfield a lot. He was getting upfield. Great first quick step. So Rankins helps, I think, big time. And I think anytime you add a guy that's a plus pass rusher, you know, Davison, you know, as much as I've liked him against the run, he's not really a pass rusher, and Onyemata hasn't really done much this year.
Kruger,
and so I think
warm yesterday, fair to say.
Yeah, Kruger, that's fair to say. But you know, I think anytime you add one guy that's a plus and an improvement, it kind of helps the balance and makes everything a little bit better. So yeah, I do think Rankins makes a difference, and I do think Rankins will improve the pass rush. You know, they're not going to get 6 sacks. Kruger's going to go back to having games where he completely disappears. You know, I think Jordan will have games where he plays a tougher right tackle, and, you know, he may not play as well. But I think the Saints pass rush over the second half of the season, assuming they stay healthy and Rankins continues to improve, I think we'll see a better pass rush than we saw in the first half.
Dave, last Thursday they announced – the report that Kenny Vaccaro is tested positive for Adderall or something, and he's going to get suspended for.
Well,
four
wasn't
games.
There? Wasn't didn't the NFL come out and say that they had no record of that at all?
They don't get a record of it until a positive B sample. So apparently, they're waiting on the
B sample,
the result of the B sample. So it sounds like something got leaked, kind of prematurely.
I mean, how does the appeal process work? How long can he stretch it out?
God, remember when Will Smith had the whole star caps thing and a couple other guys?
Yeah.
That lasted like forever before they actually got.
Well, first of all, we don't know what the test is positive for. I mean, Adderall is what every NFL player comes out and says they tested positive for. And the reason for that is, I just think the average fan knows that it's ADD medication, and they're like, oh yeah, he took it to stay awake. No big deal. Like, and they get over it. From a PR standpoint, that's a lot less damaging than he tested positive for cocaine, he's an addict, or he tested positive for PEDs, he's a cheater. So, you know, that's what every NFL player is using these days as an excuse. And the fact that it's already out there, the NFL is not allowed to leak that information. So to me, that came from Vaccaro's camp to kind of get out ahead of any judgment or PR issues. But, you know, there's still a second sample, again, that has to be tested. And then after that, he could appeal any ruling and kind of delay this thing. I mean, you remember with star caps. Even with the Goodell punishments, I mean, they just kept kicking the can on that. It was close to a year in both situations before – some of those guys actually serve their sentence.
Well, I mean, you would they be? I would say for the Saints right now, they'd be better off kicking the can, even if they could stretch it out for 3 more weeks. Because, say they get to where you're 4 games left. Yes, it could really screw them for the playoffs to put the push. But they need him the next 3 weeks. If they win the next 3 weeks and they get to 7-5, and he's out the last month of the year, well, whatever. But if he's out, starting
There is no playoff push if you lose the next 2 games.
Yeah.
So, you know, like it's kind of the margin for error here at this point. Like, the Saints can probably lose one more and definitely make the playoffs, and 2 more, it's already kind of dicey.
Yeah.
You know, it's if they lose 2 more games, I would say it's not a given that they go, what would it be, 5-2 the rest of the way. I would say it's not a given they make the playoffs.
Oh no,
so,
9-7.
Yeah,
I mean it would.
So 6-1 is probably the only way they guarantee themselves a shot. So you can't really get 6-1 without your best defensive player. Now, I don't think you can with him, but you certainly can't without him. So yeah, I think from a strategy standpoint, you got to keep kicking the can until it comes time to pay the piper, and hopefully by the time he starts serving the suspension, it was worth it.
Dave, Willie Snead was awesome. Brandon Cooks, that catch, I feel like it gets lost in everything. But if I had to,
yeah, that really sucks for him.
But Dave,
he seriously deserves so much credit for that.
I'm glad you brought it up, because I was going to mention that earlier and interject, but yeah, I mean, Brandon Cooks is like what, 5'1", and he was going up against, and I mean, he was double covered in the end zone by guys that I'm certain were like 3 feet taller than him, and he still somehow managed to come down with that damn ball. It was truly impressive, and you're right, he gets screwed because the whole extra point has just overshadowed everything. That's what I wanted to say earlier when we were talking about the extra point. I wanted to say, hey, let's not forget about the sick catch that Brandon Cooks
made.
go ahead.
I mean, we'd be talking about that as one of the great catches we've seen in the last 2 or 3 years if the Saints end up winning that game. Like, that was, I mean,
yeah,
and,
exactly.
And by the way, it wasn't that smart of a decision by Breeze, but
yeah, no, it's a terrible idea.
You know, let me throw it to the short guy between two Broncos.
I mean, I think Drew trusts Brandon probably more than any other receiver on the team. I mean, he's the longest tenured receiver that is on the Saints.
I think so.
You know, yeah, there's certainly. And it's only 3-4 years. It's not like he's been with the Saints for 10 years, but he does have more time and experience with Drew, and I think that says something. And then the other thing was, I was actually sitting next to Willie Snead's girlfriend and daughter and his parents, and so it was pretty awesome to see him have a 2-touchdown game. He came over after the first touchdown and gave his dad the ball.
That's cool.
And his little daughter.
So that was the third Willie Snead.
That was, oh yeah, you know what? That's right. I was sitting next to Willie Snead the third.
Andrew, Tim Hightower
was the second there?
No. And I don't know whether he named his daughter Willie, but then she would be the fourth, I guess.
Wilhelmina?
No, the fifth.
The fifth, yes. Sorry, that's right.
Andrew, the Tim Hightower renaissance was really fun against Seattle, and it was fun against San Francisco, who's terrible against the run. But is that sort of like timeshare experiment sort of over? I felt like Tim Hightower looked really...
No, I mean, I think Hightower still deserves to be in the mix. I see what you're getting at. I do wish that Mark Ingram had gotten more carries. I do think, and you know, he took that big shot to the thigh, and he kind of limped off. And I wonder if that kind of limited his reps, just from getting tweaked or whatever. But I think it's clear Ingram's the best back on the team. I mean, I think everyone already knew that. I think, you know, Hightower had a couple game stretch there where he kind of got hot, and you know, people were clamoring for him to get more playing time, and I think he deserved it. I still think he's the number two back, and I think he deserves to play and get reps. But you know, as opposed to a 50-50 equal share thing, which is kind of what I felt like we saw yesterday, I would be in favor of kind of going back to 2/3, 1/3, and sticking with Ingram. You know, and yeah, obviously if Ingram fumbles or he makes mistakes, you know, that changes things again. But right now, I think Ingram's the best back on the team, clearly.
Normally, you wouldn't be worried about that injury, but with a Thursday night game, you know, you'll have to see how things go. You know, the interesting thing with Drew Brees is I felt like he was pretty terrible in the first half, Dave, but God, he got hot in the second half. How much do you lay yesterday on Drew Brees? Dave,
you know, yeah, he certainly should shoulder some of the blame. 4 turnovers, 2 of them were straight up interceptions, and the other 2 were obviously fumbles.
Well, Mike Thomas had his hand on the second interception.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay. and What was I going to say? Oh, and I did predict last week that Breeze would be the goat of the game, and that he would throw a couple of interceptions. And I was also the only one to predict that the Saints would lose.
Yes, you were.
After that missed extra point return, I was really giggling and laughing inside. No, I wasn't. I'm kidding. That thought never crossed my mind. It wasn't his greatest game, but I mean, shit. You know, you're talking about giving Michael Thomas a pass for two fumbles, and who else were we talking about?
I think his rating was perfect in the second half. I want to say.
Well, that's surprising. Drew Brees gets a lifetime of free passes, and he certainly wasn't terrible. He just, like you said, in the first half, he just really wasn't that great.
Yeah.
You know, one thing I'll say about this game, and if there's anything I hate more, it's fans that second guess Sean Payton's play calling. Like, that drives me insane.
Nuts.
When like every Saints fan on Twitter thinks there are better offensive coordinators that can call plays better than Sean Payton, who's had the number one offense in the NFL basically for the last decade.
Yeah.
And, you know, and everyone thinks they're an offensive coordinator that knows better than the Saints coaching staff. It drives me crazy. That being said, I'm about to do what I just said I hated. I did feel like on third, there were a couple third and ones where the Saints got a little cute. First of all, my God, stop it with the Ingram pitch on third and one. Now, they did it once and it worked, and then they tried it again.
Yeah, it worked because Ingram bowled the dude over because he couldn't get to the corner.
Yes. So, again, I'm going to say this again. Stop the pitch to Ingram on third and one for the love of God. Actually, take it out of the playbook altogether. No pitches to Ingram, ever.
Yes.
The other thing that bothered me was, you know, the pick that they threw to Kadet. You know, that was a deep ball on third and one. They got the matchup they wanted. He was one-on-one, I think, with a linebacker, and he got behind him. But, you know, Breeze just made a mistake with the throw. But I just – John Kuhn, he's like 17 for – I mean, I'm making this up. I don't really know. But he's like 17 for 17 on the year. I don't think he's been stopped once on a third and short. Like, at some point, can't you – like, I know the Saints were trying to be cute here, and I felt like they second-guessed themselves a little bit because of the defense they were facing. But at some point, it's just like, you got to be stubborn and like, until this stops working, I'm going to keep doing it. And I just would have liked to have seen on those third and ones, which were critical. I mean, the Saints had one third and one that was deep on their side of the field, and that's an important first down to pick up. I mean, I would just love to see the Saints put their trust in Kuhn.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, the play calling didn't so much bother me. It's just, I mean... On that third,
I mean, that's a tough defense.
I think on the third and one, I think the play to Kadet, I think Sean Payton in the back of his mind is like, we're going to pass it, and we don't get it, I'm going to go for it on fourth. Like, I think that was probably the mindset there. It just didn't work out. Before we get to the Twitter questions, we touched on it a little bit earlier, Dave. But the secondary was kind of terrible yesterday in that they allowed 11 of 19 third downs. Are you concerned about Delvin Bro? Are you concerned about Delvin Bro, Dave?
Oh, yeah. That's the other guy we were talking about who gets a pass. no, I don't think having one not good game is cause for concern when you're talking about Delvin Bro. Like we just said, He gets a pass. So no.
Well,
nothing.
I guess
Demaryius Thomas is a pretty damn good receiver.
Yeah.
Here's the thing though. Are we not so worried that Bro is suddenly terrible, but that it's going to take him till December to get back to being how good he was last year.
I just think it's. I mean, he had a broken leg. I mean, once a bone is healed, it's healed. This wasn't a muscle issue or anything like that. So I think more than anything, it's just getting back in the flow and the feel of it, and getting the reps and getting your confidence back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I look, the I don't know why you're asking whether the second. I mean, the secondary has not been good at all. There's not really. It can't really get much worse. I mean, they can't. There's nowhere really to go but up. So I'm not really.
Yeah, they were.
Yeah. I mean, so I mean, it's. I'm not going to sit here and be upset and worry about the secondary getting worse. I've already resigned myself to the fact that they were terrible.
I did think Ellerbe had a nice game, and you know, obviously when he plays, it helps the defense. I mean, it was nice to see him.
Ellerbe.
Did you guys notice that on the first play of the game they ran off guard and Ellerbe made the tackle and he was really slow to get up?
I know. I did notice that. He celebrated really vigorously on that sack. I was worried that he was going to rupture his hamstring. But we have before we get to the game prediction, we have a ton of questions. Let's see.
Oh, I bet we do.
This is freaking about football. He asks, Dave, is Michael Thomas poised for a 13 reception, 200-yard, 3-touchdown performance Thursday?
Yeah, look, Mark Ingram fumbled a couple of times, got benched, and came back with a vengeance. And I do think Mike Thomas is a mature player like Ingram is, and I could definitely see him coming back. And
you're saying he plays best angry?
And also, Carolina's secondary is terrible.
If I know Mike Thomas, and I don't, I think he's the kind of player that really like Marcus Colson would do. I think he would beat himself up about it, and he would make sure that he never has a game like that ever again. And he comes back guns a-blazing.
This is from No Lemonade, Andrew. Let's say Trump appoints Greg McMahon to be Secretary of State. Are we stoked, right? I don't know. I guess the question is, are you willing to let the Middle East go to shit?
You know how Kevin feels about Rick Venturi, right?
Well, I guess the question really is, are you willing to let the Middle East go to shit so the Saints could possibly have competent special teams?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yes.
Sign me up.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm sorry. Greg McMahon. Yeah, I wasn't thinking of it that way. If Greg McMahon is doing something for Trump, then that means he's gone from the Saints.
Yes.
So we would have to replace him. No, that sounds amazing. But obviously, I want him replaced. I mean, I'll be honest. Greg McMahon is approaching Kevin's feelings on Rick Venturi.
I mean, I want a pony too, Andrew. It's never going to happen. You know, I mean, Skooks ask, when did we enter the upside down? When the Demogorgon ate the defensive backs? When Trump won? When we died on Facebook? Yes, I think we knew we were entering the gates of hell, Skooks, when all the defensive backs got injured in a 2-week period. We knew that it was the gates of hell, and 2016 was going to be sort of awful. We talked about, this is another question, we talked about Delvin Bro getting targeted by Denver. This is from Reichert. Dave, what condiment should I spread on my shit sandwich? I'm a Saints and Auburn fan and voted for Hillary Rodham Clinton.
You know, that really depends on your palate. You know, most people, most Americans, I would say most Trump supporters are ketchup guys. So, so since he voted for HRC, I'll say
HRC.
Mustard.
Yeah. This is from Jason Roan. Andrew, how big an advantage are the all white color rush unis since the ref never know if we are out of bounds?
Yeah, no, that's amazing. Yeah, great point. I mean, you could literally lie out of bounds, and they could review it, and your whole body could be out of bounds, and the ref wouldn't be sure.
This is from Mark Chafin.
Huge advantage for the Saints. Mark, huge.
Mark Chafin.
Huge.
It's bigly. Mark Chafin asks, I guess Michael Thomas forgot to do his hand yoga. Oh, yeah. Yes. This is from Alfredo, Dave.
What's funniest about that dude being out of bounds is that he didn't even have to be that close to the sideline.
No,
side
he
line.
Didn't.
No,
I mean there was
it
a
was
guy
so
facing
dumb.
Him down, but he was a good 5 yards away from him. He did not even have to be anywhere near the sidelines.
Yeah.
It was completely unnecessary.
What chances do you give the Saints to catch the Falcons in the NFC South? Or are any playoff hopes more a wild card?
I think your best bet would be a wild card, yes. What chance would I give them? Yeah, I'd say 20-1.
All right, let's pull up the Falcons.
I would give the Saints a 15% chance of making the playoffs, yeah, which is better. At 0-3, I would have given them about 2. Yeah. So, you know, it's better than it was. If they had won against the Broncos, I mean, I would have said 50-50.
Yeah, because then you're basically tied.
That loss hurts. It really, I
they
mean,
have,
I, you know,
Atlanta.
It's a real bummer.
Here's Atlanta's schedule. They host Arizona, who's secretly not any good. They barely beat San Francisco yesterday at home. Then they host the Chiefs. Then they go to the Rams. They host the Niners. They go to the Panthers, and they host the Saints. So I would say you're looking at, what are they, 6-4? I would say you're looking at...
I think you're lucky if they lose 3 times.
7-5, 8-5, 9-5. Yeah, I think 10-6 is the number. And that's assuming the Saints beat them and they lose to the Chiefs. And
to win the division, 10-6?
Yeah.
I think if the Saints, you know, I think if the Saints are 9-6 going into Atlanta, so that would mean losing one more, basically going 5-1 over these next 6. I mean, that's what it's going to take. I think they would be playing for the division week 17.
Yeah, I think that's it. You know, the thing is with Atlanta, they're like the Saints in a sense of their defense is so bad. You never know like when a team can jump up and beat them. Like you would look at the Rams and you'd be like, oh, the Rams they're last in offense, and they're not beating Atlanta. And then you look up and it's like, oh, it's 17-10, and Todd Gurley has 120 yards in the third quarter. You know?
Yeah, but so, Atlanta has a pass rush.
Nah, that's true. All right. Let's see. Were the bad calls a punishment for Breeze bad mouthing Goodell last week? Also, fuck Goodell. this is Wallace asks Andrew, how the hell did this franchise ever get itself together enough to actually win a Super Bowl?
Oh, man. That's why it was so amazing when it happened. No one knows.
Dave, Anthony asks, what do we have to sacrifice to the football gods to get a winning record?
7 virgins.
Whatever Darian Stewart sacrificed.
Yes.
We need to sacrifice that.
Andrew Monadula asks, what musical instrument will New Saints signee Banjo play?
that might be my favorite question of the month right there.
He's gonna play.
Well, he's a special teamer, so whatever instrument he plays, it's probably broken.
So if the Saints did what the 49ers special teams, if the Saints did the 49ers special on that last play, a coach on the sideline trips the returner. Yeah, and it would have been a touch, and they would have awarded Denver 2 points. Although the fun part would have been it would have been on the national media all day long today that Greg McManus tackled the Denver dude, which would have been fun.
That would have been the best play move.
Yeah,
that
49er play. Somebody tweeted me in the rule book about the full Browner last week that the NFL, you do it once, they can warn you and then start doling out 15-yard penalties. If you do it again, they can start giving out touchdowns. So you can't just keep doing it. this is from Eric and Dave. Should we just learn to love 500? Our games are so much more fun than the Patriots. Anything can happen.
Yeah, you better damn well learn to love 500. I think we're in for a little bit more of mediocrity.
This is fun.
At least we're not the Browns.
Yeah, this is a fun question. No, oh yeah. This is from Dylan. Since Carolina is missing their two offensive
Frederico.
they're Carolina's missing their two offensive tackles. Over under, Saints get 10 hits on Cam Newton Thursday.
God, that would be delicious.
I mean, I would say over because I figure the Saints will get 3 sacks. Cam Newton will run 4 times. That 4 or 5 times, that gets you to 8 already. You know, I think over's a pretty good play.
Yeah, Ralph and I were arguing about this on text message today. He was saying that he hated Thursday night games. That he really couldn't stand it. And I don't know. I kind of love Thursday night games. I mean, first of all, I don't understand this whole Twitter outrage about Thursday night games. First of all, it's more football during the week, and I love football, so give me more of it. And you know, and what else am I going to do with my Thursday night?
It's very shitty football.
And then secondly, I think the parents out there can appreciate this. It's a game where my kids are asleep. So Sunday, during the day, I've got to deal, manage watching the game, getting excited with 2 kids that are vying for my attention. Now, by now, you know, they've been in this household long enough. They know to basically just leave me alone for 3 hours on Sunday during the Saints game. But still, it's a better viewing experience for me when the kids are unconscious.
Maybe. I just like my football on Sunday, man. Because now they're going to play Thursday, and then
you know what I'm talking about.
You got nothing to look forward to on the weekend. LSU.
The kid thing isn't a factor for me, but I do see where Ralph is coming from. Once you play on Thursday, then the rest of the weekend is, you know, you got nothing to do. But I do like it because then you don't have to pay that much attention on Sunday if you don't want to, and you can get shit done.
Yes, and not only that, but if a win on Thursday, now a loss on Sunday sucks, but you win on Thursday, you kind of got your win ahead of everyone else that week, and so you can kind of watch everyone passively and kind of laugh at them, and you know, it's kind of like you're already in the driver's seat. You got your win, and so you can just root for a Falcons loss and a Bucks loss, and you can watch them get hit and get injured, and you're like, yeah, Saints are sitting at home.
Well,
on the
Atlanta's
couch
off. Atlanta's off, so if the Saints win Thursday, we don't get to root for an Atlanta loss. But I hear you. All right, last question, then we get to game picks. This is from Ali Kazami. How many more snaps till Ellerby breaks his leg? That's so mean. I mean,
I give him 2 games.
I mean, he makes a difference. You can see why the Saints keep him around. You know. All right, let's get to game picks. Oh, and by the way, remember to donate. We still need to keep the lights on here. Go to the Saints Happy Hour podcast page and click on the donate button and donate what you can. Thanks to Michael Silver, Peter, and Johnny. They all donated last week. We appreciate everyone who donates. All right, Dave, I'll start with you. The Saints are a 4.5-point underdog to the Carolina Panthers, who are 3-6. And I know, Saints fans, it doesn't seem possible, but Carolina had a loss 10 times as brutal as the Saints. They were winning 17-0 and 17-3 going into the fourth quarter and lost 20-17. Just keep that in mind, Dave. Who you got Thursday?
Yeah, Carolina's in bad shape. I think their psyche is really
Busted. Greg Olsen called it the worst loss in 10 years.
Yeah. I mean, they are definitely a hobbled team physically and mentally. But this is a division game.
Yep.
And these two teams know each other, and we know anything can happen. That's why, Ralph, when you mentioned the Cardinals almost losing to
San Francisco, you're like, yeah,
San Francisco. That's fair. All's fair in division games. And I'm still look. I think the Saints have been playing much better these last 3 weeks. I'm not trying to be a Debbie Downer, but I just feel like they're going to lose this game to Carolina, and it's going to be heartbreaking, and it's going to really hurt. And I also hate to say it, but I've been pretty good at this predicting thing the last 2 weeks. I'm kind of on fire with the predicting.
You are.
Hopefully I'm wrong. Hopefully I'm wrong here finally. But I just don't have a good feeling short week. I'm going to go with, obviously, Carolina's at home. And Saints are underdogs and by a little bit more than home field advantage. So Vegas, you know, Vegas might know a little something, too. So I'm going to say... I'm going to say 31-27 Panthers.
And who's the goat? Who's the goat?
Yeah, I'm going to say it's not going to be Michael Thomas. He's going to have a hell of a game. And it won't be Breeze. I'm going to say it's going to be somebody on defense. I'm going to say, God damn. This is hard. shit, you know what? It'll probably be another special teams disaster. I'm going to go with... I'm going to go with... freaking... Jairus Bird. He's going to muff a punt.
Oh, my God. Andrew.
Yeah, that's who I'm going to go with.
He's like the one guy that hasn't screwed up on returns yet.
yes.
I mean, I agree with Dave that I agree with Dave that it's going to be a close one. I mean, that's your 2016 Saints. I think they're playing better football. I think, you know, offensively, Sean Payton knows how to attack this defense. He's been real successful against the Panthers both times last year and this year. So, you know, I think Sean Payton will come in with a good game plan, and I think the offense will get things rolling and be able to score some points. And I think, you know, Cam Newton will do his thing. I think he's going to have a good game. And I think a lot of Saints games this year, it'll probably come down to who makes a play in the final 2 minutes. I think it'll be close. And I'm going to say the Saints pull this one out, though. I think Carolina's kind of down in the dumps. You know, I see this with the Panthers. I think when things go well and Cam Newton's having fun and the fans love him and things are good, but I feel like when that team's not doing that well, I feel like his teammates kind of sour on his act a little bit. Still don't think Cam Newton's a great leader, and I just think it's one of those things where, like, winning cures all, but I still think he's a guy that's kind of tough to play with. And I think when you're struggling like they are, you know, his teammates just, you know, I just think he's a hard guy to play with. So I'm going to say the Saints are going to pull this one out and get back to 5-5, sweeping the Carolina Panthers on the year. It's going to come down to the final drive, 27-24 Saints.
When was the last time they did that? 2011, I guess.
Yeah.
Sweep.
The Saints are going to score a touchdown on the final drive. So, you know, they'll be down 24-20, go down and score. And it'll be Kobe Fleener scoring the last touchdown.
Kobe Fleener. This one's a hard for me. I you know, Andrew, you always joke that I say, well, it could be a blowout either way. I don't know. I have zero idea how this goes. The Saints,
every time I get a call from Ralph every week, I swear to God.
That's true.
Andrew, this week I feel like this week either the Saints are going to get off to a fast start and they're just going to blow them out, or they start flat and they're just going to get dump trucked. That's what he says every week.
It's true. You probably could. I should just leave, instead of waiting for you to pick up, I should just leave the voicemail and then you can just play him on the podcast to people and just the team name changes. But the Saints, man, it's going to be excruciating close. I feel like the Saints, they've lost in such bizarre ways. Like we're like, it's going to be like a Hail Mary 2-point conversion where the officials let Carolina have like 15 guys on the field and they're going to lose. I was all set to pick Carolina, but I think with the Saints' renewed pass rush, Carolina missing both of their tackles, I think the Saints can win this one. And I'm going to say 34-27. And it'll look like a one-score game in the box score, but it won't really be. It'll be kind of this. Carolina gets a couple of garbage time touchdowns to make you maybe a little bit worried, and they onside kick at the end or something. But I think the Saints are going to win. It's not going to be a game with 5 minutes to go, and the Saints are going to win 34-27. That's my prediction. So
then, who's your player of the game?
Player of the game will be, I'm gonna say Von Bell's gonna pick up a fumble and run it in for a touchdown.
Oh.
So,
can you just give him the pick six, because we haven't had one of those since 2012?
No, we're not having a pick
six. Ooh, you know who the quarterback was the last time the Saints had a pick six?
Oh, it was Cam Newton, right?
It was. Jonathan Vilma against Cam Newton in 2012.
And his arthritic knees took it to the house. The Saints lost that game like 45-10. So that's the prediction. So you can go to Canal Street Chronicles. Dave, have you written anything this week for the peoples?
No, not this week.
Yeah, you can go to Saints Nation. Andrew's got his grades up. He gave poor Michael Thomas an F. He deserved it. But,
aw. Poor Mike Thomas.
Yeah. Womp, womp, womp.
He had six targets and three of them were turnovers.
We didn't touch on this guy, but I think that might be the best game Cam Jordan's ever played in his life. I know he didn't have like three sacks or anything, Andrew, but God, he was awesome.
Yeah, dominant.
So go to St.
Real good.
Andrew's got his offensive grades, defensive grades. You know, Kevin was MIA for whatever reason. He's sad or something. No, he just had to work. You know, and unlike the Broncos, Kevin was... I fucked up that joke completely. Anyway, I was going to say...
He was out like the Broncos.
He was out like the Broncos. For Dave... For Andrew, for Kevin, who's out, I'm Ralph. Until next week, the bar is closed.